You're listening to episode 98 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, live audio. Here, and you'll appreciate this. Yeah, it seems of the, you know, the four horsemen or so that were, you know, have been talked about, the only one that has really been able to stay off, you'll like this, the front page has been Amazon.
Right.
Right. Up until recently.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That was a nice transition because Jeff Bezos decided to go buy himself an early Christmas present.
Birthday to me, $250 million later.
Yeah. Which really and truly is crazy to think about, that if you had won the single Mega Millions jackpot, if you had been a single winner for the Mega Millions jackpot on Wednesday, you too could have bought the Washington Post. That's how little.
Well, or think about like the, another way to think about it, right? It was split between three people, which means the guy gets 150 mil before taxes.
Yeah.
He couldn't afford it. And for Jeff Bezos, it's pretty darn close to chump change.
Yeah, that's. Well, I was going to say what's astounding on one hand is that Jeff Bezos can afford the Washington Post and not like as a pet project. And it wasn't Amazon absorbing it. It was just Jeff Bezos with his personal capital going, I think I want to own this company. But the other side of it is the fact
so that amazing.
I said the Washington Post was evaluated at $1.4 billion 10 years ago, and it could have been bought with a lottery winning ticket in 2013.
That's pretty amazing.
I can say both of those are fascinating aspects of this story. Number one, print is dying. Everybody knows it. What the heck is Jeff Bezos doing?
Especially when he had an interview. It wasn't that long ago. It was only in 2012, so last year, where he was pretty much, he goes, there's one thing I'm certain about. There won't be printed newspapers in 20 years. Maybe as luxury items in some hotels that want to offer them as an extravagant service. Printed papers won't be normal in 20 years, said Bezos. I mean, it's a long timeline.
For Hewlett-Packard, but...
Maybe. Well, the way HP will frame it is, you're right, analog newspapers that are not customized and made explicitly for you will not exist. We agree.
Right. What's cool is it'll be, I mean, it's not, it's like that.
Well, what'll happen is you'll have, like, consumers, you, me, whatever, we're not going to buy newspapers anymore. It's just not going to happen. But we will still buy trade newspapers and trade magazines, and because those go to business people who still find value in that stuff and still print. And so it'll be a bunch of boutique places that need some sort of digital customized printing jobs. You know, they don't want the big presses, and that's right where HP will play.
What would be cool is if you know, we treated newspapers like our news feeds, where you select the authors and articles you're interested in, and then we print off customized newspapers for you specifically, and that's what gets delivered to your hotel
room. This is awesome, because this is like another article that I was going to skip over. Because they was talking about how Zuckerberg has like the, you know, newspaper 2.0 in mind. Where they're trying to – it was just funny. Which is funny. I actually like posted on Facebook the beginning of the week, was like, dude, Zuckerberg's messing with my news feed again, and I can't quite figure out his logic. And it was like 2 days later, Facebook came out and said, we're going to be more transparent about our news feed and how it all works. And I was like, yes, you read my Facebook updates.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So there you go. There's my resume. That's why you should listen to us and follow us,
because we see things before everyone else.
Yeah. Oh. But anyways – what they were talking about was they're starting up new things where they have new sections, right? You have your friends' updates, you have photos, you have videos. They have on this day. So what they'll do is they will show you posts that people did like a year ago or 2 years ago that were of significance.
Yeah.
You know, which is to let you relive those moments. And then they're saying, talking about like, you know, people post these articles and they talk about community events. And the whole goal where they're eventually going is you will go to Facebook in the morning or whenever, I guess. And it will be essentially a personalized newspaper that makes you feel a part of the community, which is both for your friends and your location. And it'll be like, you know, highly personalized, right for you, timely, and, you know, everything will be like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever read.
Which is interesting.
Anyways,
But
that's where Facebook wants to head.
It does bring us back to the question of what the heck is Jeff Bezos doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. So I think there's two things that I think you'll immediately see. Number one, you're going to see much better WashPo apps. One of the biggest criticisms that Washington Post has is that's right. I'm so news junkie nerdy. I call it the WashPo now.
I don't even know. What? Is that normal to call it that?
Well, if you're like listen, if you read too much news, Washington Post is too many. What's it called?
It's like HuffPo.
HuffPo. Yeah, WashPo. And so the Washington Post, their apps are notoriously crashy and buggy and bad. So number one, they're gonna get better apps. Number two,
good.
I think you'll actually see a really cool Kindle newspaper service that they'll try to charge for. It'll be Kindle. It'll be on your Kindle. It'll work on your, you know, work on your paper white or whatever. It'll connect to all the different, you know, you pay one fee and you get all the different access, all the different apps and everything.
I agree.
And I have a feeling that Bezos's goal on this one is not to try to make it profitable. I think it's maybe to see if you can, but I think one of the things that everybody has been talking about is that Bezos is just like a fanatic about reading. He started Amazon to become the biggest book retailer because he wanted to sell books, and he can't sell books anymore. He's selling Kindles, and so it's like, you know, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing him going, I think he likes newspapers. He's got them romanticized in his brain. He's the kind of person that will buy boutique printed newspapers in 20 years because he thinks they're cool.
Yeah.
I got the money, I'll buy them. Like, he came up, nobody else was going to come up with that idea except Bezos because everybody else wants to get rid of the paper. He wants to figure out a way to, how can we preserve the paper? He's going to have a library of printed books because he likes printed books. Even though he carries around his Kindle with every book he's ever read on it, and he reads a lot. You know, he forces his friends and workers to read. He makes everybody read, and so part of it is like this romanticized relationship with newspapers. And they're like, he can afford it. It was on fire sale. Why not buy it and see if you can't do something with it? See if you can't save newspapers. And the other thing is, and this is the bigger one, is that, you know, it's almost undeniable that newspaper reporting is still some of the best reporting out there. It's better than your 24-hour news cycles. It's better than 98% of bloggers. For real news journalism is, you know, that's where the biggest journalism happens. That's where the most journalism starts. And so the idea is that they're talking about is that perhaps like what's going on is basically.
Do you really think so? I guess maybe outside of the tech world, maybe.
Oh yeah, outside of I'm talking like politics and, you know, not even necessarily finances, but politics definitely the best is still newspaper. And I think one of the things that people are arguing is that, you know, maybe Bezos is doing it because it's exciting. Being a journalist is exciting and fun and cool, and he's wants to do that. I don't know. But
I don't know either. The guy's crazy.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, one of those exciting little tidbits. Oh, well, it'll be fun to see what he does with it. I'm looking forward to the continued development of the Amazon newspaper.
I agree. So how about this? Let's see here. Probably should have clicked this a little while earlier, but that's okay.
Probably.
It'll still work.
As your stream goes dead.
Hey, love.
Want to describe what's happening here?
So, basically, this is a commercial for Apple Inc., and I've kind of, you know, I'm unashamedly in love with Apple's commercials. They're good ones.
Yeah.
I won't give credence to their bad ones. But this one, the everyday commercials, the series are fantastic. So there's this is the third in the series. The first one was Music Every Day. The next one was Photos Every Day.
Photos.
And so it's like it's like cool music going in the background, and like the photos one are people taking photos of different events and stuff. The music one is different people listening to different music, their headphones on, like prepping for dancing or prepping for a swim meet or wanting, you know, studying or just being cool hipsters in New York. Well, this one is about FaceTime, and
every day more people connect face to face on the iPhone than any other phone.
Boom, got it. And so basically what they what this one is it's sort of a homage to the original FaceTime commercial, which if you remember was made by Sorkin, and it was made by Sorkin, wasn't it? The guy who's actually making the Steve Jobs biography, I think. I might be getting wrong. Don't trust me. Don't go to take that to the bank. But essentially what it is it's like, it's just a bunch of videos of people doing different FaceTime things. And it's like, it's got that cool music that they pick. It's all like, oh man, the world's awesome. I love the world. It's so cool. And they couple it with, you know, just some like, some really kind of touching moments of like people sharing, you know, like, you know, grandkids and stuff. And I don't know if you've ever used FaceTime or really any video chat service to like, be able to see somebody's face, like see somebody open presents or see your godson or see your, you know, see this, you're like, you know, it just slaps you with emotions. You're like, oh, I want to cry. It's so beautiful. And it's just, a classic Apple commercial. And then, you know, and like they're, you know, and just trying to like, you know, just yank as hard as they can on your heartstrings and like, you need this product so you could live your life. You know, how can you have emotions without FaceTime? And they just do a great job, and I really like it, and they're enjoyable to watch. And
But what did you think about Nokia's latest?
So this one is,
if I may, I'm gonna try this.
Number one, they call it Nokia.
I know.
What the heck is the deal with Nokia? Okay, so this one's going to be... This is a response.
Every day, more photos are taken on the iPhone than any other phone.
Thank you.
But the Nokia, we prefer to build for quality and not just quantity.
Then they do comparisons side by side.
Yeah. For like 5 minutes. It's a long
time. I would say it's half the ad. Yeah.
And they're undeniably better pictures. You know, Nokia builds unbelievably great sensors, and it's one of the things we talk about on the show on a semi-regular basis is that, you know.
Well, and I love, they took a lot of the shots or the images from Apple's photo commercial and just redid them.
Right.
Theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that picture of the guy who's like taking a picture like right now, and then he's got to run to catch up with the friends, you know, which we've all done. Like, yeah, we do that too.
Okay. Right, yeah, and it's so funny. I mean, but at the same time, like, it just comes off as like, I don't know.
It with Nokia Lumias than with any other mobile.
It comes off as a, I don't know, man. I don't know. It comes off a little bit pretentious. It's just not as tight as the Apple commercials. It's not as it's classic. It's classic Apple. Wants to, you know, this is what Steve Jobs is good at. He wants you to love the experience. He wants you to feel the emotion. What is, you know, technology, you know, should be at the cross section of humanities and technology. What happens at the cross section?
What is it? Liberal arts and
it's liberal arts and technology. And that's where Apple tries to exist. And what it is that they're trying to show you is. And this is such a classic Apple strategy in that we're going to show you how life is cool and life is great and life is awesome. And we're going to show you how our phone kind of augments what's awesome. And what they're not showing you is that the phone is awesome. What they're showing you is that life is awesome. And Apple products kind of help with that. Whereas Nokia is actually saying, no, the iPhone is terrible. Your life is not awesome. You know, it has nothing to do with, and that's just what drives me nuts about these commercials. It's like, you guys have no idea what you're doing. You're not trying to come up with a feature or something that just really, like, you don't sell it on tech specs. And they're doing the right thing in that they're showing, you know, really dramatic comparison pictures, and they're drawing your attention to what everybody knows, which is the iPhone, you know, doesn't have the best camera. But the thing is that at the same time, it's like, you know, how much does that matter? Like, you only, you know, you, how many people buy their phones based on the camera that it has? And, you know, what people want is they want the best overall package and a good enough camera. Now, I think people would say they want the greatest camera that they could possibly get, but it sort of like goes back to that apocryphal tale of, when Compaq made that one computer, and they're like, they went to people and they said, what do you want? And they said, we want it lighter, faster, and battery life. And so Compaq came up with this, this really thin, light power, this book with a great battery life, but it had the CD would pop out, and you could replace it with a floppy disk and the drive, and like it had all these different like functions.
They got rid of speakers because that took up too much space.
Exactly, they did all these things, and everybody was like, "But I don't want to have to carry like headphones with me, or like I don't want to have to plug a, I don't have to choose between whether I have a disk drive or a CD drive or a floppy disk drive." Like, and what they did was they what they realized is that people say they want it smaller. They want it faster, smaller, lighter, longer battery life, but they want all of that and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just...
perfect now, please.
Yeah, exactly, which is like, of course. And when this is like one of those cases where I think, you know, people desperately want a better camera, but they're not going to go out and buy a phone simply because of its camera. They want everything. They want the apps. They want the, you know, they want the connectivity. They want the support. They want a name that you know how to pronounce. They want.
What was up with that? I feel like they would have approved it, but is that how it's really said?
I guess. That's the only thing I could come.
Sponsored, right?
It's a Nokia commercial, and so I'm assuming that the Finns are finally fed up with the fact that the Americans have been calling it Nokia for so long, and they're just like, you know what? It's called Nokia. We're gonna call it Nokia. Just don't worry about it. They'll come around and. So I'm going to call it Nokia from now on, because I like those weird you pronounce it completely wrong simply for the sake of pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, and I think it's like I come back and the question the thought I have is they're absolutely right. They have a much better camera than the iPhone, especially. And the best part about it was that was the 920. That wasn't the 1020. That was the current camera. That's not the super amazing 41 megapixel one that's coming out in a week. And so it's like, undeniably, they've got a great camera, but the question that we come back to is, does it matter? Will that sell phones? Will that take market share from Apple? And I think the unfortunate truth for Nokia is that, or Android, yeah, I think it might steal it from Android. And if you just look at, you know, Android's much, they've been kind of going for the feature. I mean, you think about what's supposed to be the cool, get your attention selling feature of the Moto X. It's got customizable plastic pieces that you can glue to it. Like, you know, they're kind of going for the different feature phones. They're trying to differentiate themselves, and that might be a real good mode to do that would be to differentiate yourself in that way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're directly brutally attacking Apple, not Android. So they want to take Apple market share, not Android market share, and I don't think people are going to go for it, especially because Apple is going to come out with the iPhone 5S, and everybody's already talking about the fact that they've got like the dual LEDs for low light picture scenarios.
Yeah,
which
you
notice almost all of the bad pictures that Nokia showed were low light scenarios, they weren't oversaturated with light. The iPhone's pretty good at that. They were low light. And so now they're going to come out with a better low light camera, and it's going to have an improved megapixels, and it's going to have the Ruby, you know,
well,
glass.
You know what? The best part, too, is Apple will show like that same ad and go, look how horrible these iPhone 5 photos were. Right. Look how bad these were. Nokia was right. These look atrocious, which is why you need
to upgrade
5S. You know it's coming. They'll do the side-by-side comparison, the exact same thing.
Yeah, and Nokia is going to be like, how did that happen to us? You weren't supposed to win that. That wasn't supposed to help you. That was supposed to help us.
Thanks for teeing that up. We'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, that's gonna.
Yeah, you know it's going to happen. It's going to be awesome.
And if it doesn't, I mean, it's you're
dude, Phil Schiller's in charge. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
He likes to just jab at people.
Yeah. That's, oh, geez. It's just such a class. I don't know. But they're both, it's just one of those classic, you know, Nokia. Nokia. You've got undeniable truth on your side, but I think you're sending the wrong message for a giant advertising campaign. And they're not going to pump they're not going to just saturate the market so that it becomes
known. I don't know. Samsung attacks Apple in all of their ads, and it seems to work pretty well for them sales wise.
That's true. Yeah. They are beating everybody else because of it.
You know, so why shouldn't Nokia copy Samsung?
Yeah, I know. That's a good point.
I don't know.
Well,
there you go. There you go, man. I am loving the audio in the ears. That's sweet. Just on a programming side.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm moving on.
Okay, go for it. Yeah.
Facebook. No, I'm not doing that one. Netflix knows who what you watch and all sorts of stuff. And they opened up a little bit and talked a little bit about their algorithm. And essentially, I would not mind working for Netflix.
Yeah.
Which I kind of already knew. And now, I honestly don't think I'm actually qualified.
And not to mention the fact that they live in our backyard.
They have 800 engineers working behind the scenes to, like, guess what it is that you will like next.
That's a lot of engineers.
That's a lot of people. They said that they have, how many was it? It's a lot. It's like they have 40 people. Yeah, they have more than 40 people who hand tag TV shows and movies for them. So they get all this metadata around the data. They're essentially doing Pandora for movies.
Right.
And then they were asking this guy, this other during this interview, and he asks them, does Netflix keep track of my viewing? And the response was, we know what you played, searched for, or rated, as well as the time, date, and device. We even track user interactions, such as browsing or scrolling behavior. All that data is fed into several algorithms, each optimized for a different purpose. In a broad sense, most of our algorithms are based on the assumption that similar viewing patterns represent similar user tastes. We can use the behavior of similar users to infer your preferences. There you go. It's the Pandora model.
Yeah.
You like these three movies. These other people like these three movies. They also like this fourth movie. We're going to guess that you like this fourth movie based on all these similarities and stuff. And then they said they're working on this, which that was cool. He goes, so if I'm viewing on my iPad at midnight, do I see different recommendations than I would on my TV at 8 p.m.? And they said, we have been working for some time on introducing context into recommendations. We have data that suggests there is different viewing behavior depending on the day of the week, the time of day, the device, and sometimes even the location. But implementing contextual recommendations has practical challenges that we are currently working on. We hope to be using them in the near future. It's pretty crazy.
Cool. That is very cool. Well, and I actually wanted to bring this up because I just added 4 profiles to my Netflix account.
Oh, yeah. They just did the – you could add profiles to it. So who are your 4? You got you, obviously.
Me, our mom, our cousin Timmy, and our cousin Chelsea because we all live in completely separate areas, but I figure I can give my password out to enough people and actually somehow – it's funny. I've always sat there
– get on this list. But no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it.
I'm going to say, because you already had your own. That's the same reason Lisa didn't get on it.
It's true.
Netflix. We invest in the hometown companies. That's it. Unless you're our mom, in which case you don't. but I know, it's kind of cool. My favorite part about it is the profiles. When you set up a profile as the administrator of the profiles, because I pay the bills, I'm allowed to change whether or not you're like a 12-year-old or not. So Timmy's going to have a bad shock in about a week when he's trying to watch his tutor's show, which all the kings and queens.
Or you just like, you wait until like April 1st or something and just exactly. Totally mess with them.
I'm excited. So
That's funny. So yeah, so Netflix, man, they do some crazy tracking stuff similar to Pandora. Like I said, they used to, remember how they had that whole like that $1 million prize thing, you come up with a better algorithm based on rating systems?
Right.
They eventually they were like, you know what, we found that rating just isn't that telling. We go, we just track user behavior since it's all streamed. We don't care about the rating anymore. Because they were like, because people tend to be like, oh, I like to watch foreign films.
Right.
No, you don't. Especially on Sunday, you know, what is it, after, on Friday, what was it? It'd be like on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. after a hard day of work. No. You just want a chick flick. It's okay.
Yeah,
you just want to relax.
Well, and that's I'm going to say, and I mean, and that's the part of the problem is that I have two different classifications for my favorite movies. You know, what are my top three favorite movies? My top three favorite movies are, I've got one's the ones that I like the most, and one's the ones that I've watched the most.
Okay,
and
come on, what are they?
I've told this before. Like my top three are Lord of the Rings, The Matrix, and I usually go with either Shawshank Redemption or like a no. It's There Will Be Blood. I freaking love that movie. I've only seen it twice though because it's long. All of those except for The Matrix are long. But my actual like top three most watch is what's it called?
Dynamite.
What? No. Weirdly enough, it's Kick-Ass.
Really?
Yeah, I watch that movie so often. I don't even know why, but I love watching that movie. It's not even a great movie, but I love watching it. Hellboy, and what was the other one? Matrix. Matrix is the only one that, and that's why it gets the top of the list.
That's
but
true.
It's not even the most watched. It's just it's the top three most watched.
Interesting. So
that's, yeah, and that's.
Whereas I think my number one is actually the most watched.
Which
would be Top Gun.
You're a freak.
Though Ocean's 11 is probably ticking up there, the newest of them. But okay, all right.
I don't even know why, but I like they come on TV and I like stop and I watch them. I like I'll be like flipping through Netflix and I'm like, oh, wow, I haven't watched that movie in like a week. But which is stupid. I don't know why, but.
So I know you got to run, so real quickly you can mention this last one, so we have the completeness of talking about them all. Oh, you undid it. Never mind.
Well, you know what? I'll just say it. Basically, nobody's gonna buy BlackBerry. News is terrible for them. Nobody can figure out. This article basically was like BlackBerry saying that they're looking for somebody to buy them out and take them private. It's sort of like a toddler saying, "I'd like to get a pony for my birthday." It's
yes!
a pipe dream. It's not gonna happen. There's nobody with the money to actually do it that wants them at all, and it's entirely because of a brand issue. If they had a decent brand, if they had a survivable brand, but bad product or bad management, there's a lot of companies that could do something with that. But the problem is that anybody that would buy them would have to either turn around the brand or get rid of the brand, which the reason there's a problem with the brand is because there's a problem with management and the technology underlying them, which means BlackBerry is going to start the long and terrible slide to complete and utter demise. And I'm excited about it. I love it. Cool. They deserve it.
Awesome. I love finishing on a BlackBerry bashing. Sweet. Cool. Very cool. Hey, enjoy the rest of your concerts.
I will.
And travel safe to the other side of the planet. And you'll be back. Yeah, you'll be back-ish, maybe, probably.
Theoretically.
By next Sunday. Cool.
I'm scheduled
Which is also
to be
your
back.
Birthday next Sunday, right?
Birthday. Heck yeah.
Ooh. How old are you turning? Can you say that?
I'm turning 27 years old.
27!
Which, that's when I finally feel old. I'm like...
Yeah, 27 can give you that.
Yeah. I remember thinking, when you turn 27, when some of my older friends turn 27, thinking, yeah, that's... You're old now. You're 27.
So we talking about birthdays and ages and stuff. So we rented out our place, and we finally made the flip. The majority of the people we talked to are younger than us.
Oh.
Last year that wasn't the case.
That's rough. It is.
You're just like, there you go. We made the flip. It's close, right? It's only like by a couple years, but it's like, there it is.
There it is.
It's happening. It is. All right.
Don't worry. I won't make you admit your age for another couple of weeks.
Don't worry. Yeah. I'll give it in October around a month.
About a month and a week from now. Yeah, or 2 months and a week.
Yeah, 2 months and a week. Anyways, everybody, thank you for joining us. I'll get the timing right. My name is James Furlow. My brother is Matthew Furlow. And we will talk next time.
Boom!
That's how that's done.
All right.
This is a long song.
I'm going to say, it's always long.
There it is. Oh, that was awesome.
That was very cool.
Kind of weird, if I had to be totally honest. But I liked it.
I think I wouldn't mind doing it more. I don't know.
All right. We'll get better at it. You want to redeem yourself for that intro.
Yes, I do.
I know you do.
Goodness gracious.
I'll give you those opportunities.
That was
Don't
terrible.
Worry. Sweet.